Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, if you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path. We pray, Father, that as we read your word, as we read your holy word this morning, we pray that you would shine your light upon us, that you would shine your light within us, that you would shine your light before us, and show us the way, and the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the light of the world. In his name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Acts. We're continuing our study of the Acts of the Apostles. We are in Acts 15, beginning with 36, verse 36. Acts 15, beginning with verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Paul was in Antioch. This was his home base. This was his home church where he taught, where he preached, where he was sent out on his first missionary journey. He and Barnabas, on that first journey, he and his companion Barnabas had covered hundreds of miles preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that there is a God. one God. And this one almighty, eternal creator God actually entered creation, took on flesh, was with us in Jesus of Nazareth. This Jesus was crucified. He suffered death, the death of a criminal on a cross. But in his suffering, in his death, upon the cross, Jesus revealed the very heart of God. Jesus shows that this one almighty, eternal creator God loves you with an abundant, steadfast, overflowing, sacrificial love. Because he came to you, and he suffered for you, and he died for you. He served you so that you might know him, and so that you might be with him forever. Well, Paul preached this, and Paul taught this to those who had never heard it before. He taught in Cyprus, and he taught in Galatia, part of what we would call Turkey. And he and Barnabas planted many churches there, started many churches there. But now Paul was in Antioch. He had just returned from a trip to Jerusalem. He was sent to Jerusalem by the church to meet with the apostles and the elders there who were gathered in a council. And they were gathered together in a council to resolve a question, to resolve an essential question concerning Gentiles, non-Jews. The question was this: did Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to follow Jesus? Did Gentiles have to follow the law in order to follow Jesus? In other words, the question was, did Gentiles first have to become Jews in order to be Christians? And the answer from that council was no. Jesus was enough. Salvation was through Jesus alone. Salvation is through Jesus alone as a gift. Well, now Paul was in Antioch, and he was ready to go. He was ready to visit the churches that he and Barnabas had started. He was ready to visit them and to fellowship with them and encourage them and to preach to them and to teach them. But before they even started, a problem arose. A disagreement arose between these two preachers, between these two missionaries, between these two men of God, these two friends. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul did not. John Mark, later the author of the Gospel of Mark, he had traveled with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but he left them long before the journey was complete. This did not sit well with Paul, and he didn't want to bring him on the second one. Perhaps Paul was afraid it would happen again. Perhaps Paul was still frustrated at John Mark. We're not told, but whatever the reason, Paul didn't want him to come. Barnabas wanted him to come. And this disagreement was so strong, this disagreement was so sharp, that these two pastors, these two missionaries, these two friends parted ways. Well, who was right? Who was right? Well, the passage doesn't tell us. But the issue, whether or not to take John Mark, was not an issue essential to the faith. It wasn't an issue essential to the Christian faith. This was not a clear right or wrong issue. Is it right that we take John Mark or not? Is one choice a sin and the other righteous? Well, no. And you all know this. You've experienced this. Or if you haven't, you will. Disagreements arise in the church. They do. And they arise in the church over non-essential issues, over matters that are not central to the faith, where there is no right or wrong. Now the question is, can you maintain fellowship? And can you maintain love when those disagreements arise? Well, Paul and Barnabas, they parted ways. But they parted ways in going out on a mission. Antioch was still their home church. Antioch was still their sending church. They were still brothers in Christ. And we also find out later that Paul changed his mind about Mark. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul asked Timothy to bring Mark to Rome. He wanted Mark to be with him. Well, this disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, it did not end the mission, but God used it to double the mission. Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus. They went over the sea to Cyprus, while Paul and Silas went north over the land. And they went encouraging churches, and they went blessing churches, until eventually they arrived at two cities. They arrived at the cities of Lystra and Derbe. Paul had been here before. Now, Paul had a history with these two cities. Not only did Paul preach the gospel at these two cities, but in Lystra, Paul was also mistaken for the Greek god Apollos. They were about to sacrifice oxen to Paul at this city before he stopped them. And then not long after they were treating him like a god, they tried to kill him. They stoned him and left him for dead. But regardless of all that, the church persevered in these two cities. Jesus Christ was present among his people in these two cities. And here, on the second trip, Paul's second time through here, Paul met Timothy. Timothy. Our passage today is the first mention of Timothy in the scriptures. But as you read the New Testament, you'll find Timothy mentioned many, many, many more times. Two of Paul's letters are written to Timothy. And Timothy is mentioned in almost every letter written by Paul. Now listen just to part of one. This is how Paul describes Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. Paul writes these words about Timothy to the church. Paul says, "I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." Paul loved Timothy. He loved him like a son. Although Paul co-labored with many others in ministry, he co-labored with Barnabas, he co-labored with Silas, Timothy was unique. He was a trusted pastor that Paul could send out to any congregation to minister to them. Well, they first met here in Lystra. Timothy was already a disciple. He was already a follower of Jesus. And we're told that his mother was Jewish, and she was a believer. She was a Jewish Christian. And his father was a Greek. We're not told if he was a Christian or not. But we are told that Timothy was already held in high regard. He was spoken well of by the churches in that area. He was a young man of strong faith, and Paul wanted him to go with them. Paul wanted him to accompany them, to join them as they traveled, as they preached the gospel, as they encouraged churches, as they strengthened churches, as they planted new churches. But before they left, this happened. Listen to verse 3 again. Verse 3. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him. Now, if you were here last week, if you remember chapter 15, you might be thinking, wait a minute, what in the world is Paul doing? What's he doing? Paul argued strongly that Gentiles were not to be circumcised, that circumcision added something to salvation. Paul argued strongly that nothing needs to be added to salvation in Jesus Christ, that it's a gift. Paul argued strongly that Jesus is enough, and he is. But now in our passage today, just mere verses later, here he is circumcising Timothy. Why? What's going on? Well, when Paul circumcised Timothy, it was not to complete his salvation. It was not as if Timothy lacked it for his salvation, but Paul circumcised Timothy for ministry. Again, Timothy's mother was a Jew and his father was a Gentile. Now, in their mission to other cities, Gentiles wouldn't care. They wouldn't care if Timothy's mother was a Jew and his father was a Gentile. Non-Jews wouldn't care. Most of the cities that they traveled to, most of the cities that they were going to were multicultural, multiracial. The Gentiles couldn't care. But Jews would. Jews would care. Once they knew Timothy's father was a Gentile, they would automatically assume that Timothy was uncircumcised. And if Timothy was uncircumcised, they would not be interested in hearing anything that he had to say. A wall would be immediately erected between them simply because Timothy was uncircumcised. Paul knew this. He knew that this would happen. He did not want a wall erected before they even had a chance to preach the gospel. He still wanted Jews to hear the gospel, so he circumcised Timothy, removing the stumbling block for Jews. So the three of them traveled, Paul and Silas and Timothy. And as they went through the cities, as they visited the churches, they encouraged them and they strengthened them. And verse 5 says this, listen to this part of verse 5. And they, the churches, increased in number daily. They increased in number daily. God was blessing the ministry of Paul and Silas and Timothy, and the church was growing, and more people were coming to faith in Jesus, following Jesus. The gospel was on the move, and the Holy Spirit was on the move. And Paul and Timothy and Silas were probably riding high. They were probably on a mountaintop of faith, seeing the gospel transform, seeing the church grow, seeing people come to faith. So now that their work was done in all of these cities, they simply needed to determine which direction to travel next. Where would they go next? Where would they preach the gospel next? And then some seemingly discouraging events occurred. Doors closed. Doors closed. Now, one route that they could have attempted was to go south and west into the region of Asia, western Turkey. This route would have taken them to big cities like Colossae and Ephesus. But we're told this in verse 6. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. A closed door. The door was closed. And we're not given details. We're not given reasons. We're not given descriptions. We're not told if God spoke to them directly and said, don't go that way, or if events prevented them from going that way. But they were forbidden by the Spirit. They couldn't go south. They couldn't go west. So what did they do? They turned north toward the region of Bithynia. And listen to verse 7 again. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Another door closed. Again, no details, no reasons, no events. A closed door. Has this ever happened to you? Where you're going in one direction, you got a plan, you got a goal, you've made a decision, you have a path that you are on, and then a door closes. A door closes. You knew where you wanted to go to school. You had your heart set on that school, and a door closed. You knew exactly what you wanted to study, and then you took that class, and a door closed. You knew exactly what your career path would be, and a door closed. You knew just what your next job was going to be, and a door closed. You wanted to live there, and a door closed. You had the perfect house lined up. It would just be perfect for you, perfect for your family, and the door closed. You were absolutely certain that marriage would be with that one, and a door closed. Retirement was certainly going to take place on some island, and a door closed. Well, God guides our lives. God offers guidance for our lives, and sometimes the guidance that God offers us is negative. A negative guidance, as in closed doors. And it doesn't mean that God speaks directly to you to close those doors. It doesn't mean that God tells you that this door is closed, but often events in our lives or circumstances in our lives block your way. Check your path. Require you to change directions. Require you to alter course. And when this happens, when doors are closed, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't despair. It's not simply a no from God. It is that. But it's not just that. God is also showing you that there is another way. There's another path that he has in mind for you. And when it happens in your life, when doors are closed in your life, don't be paralyzed. Don't be paralyzed. When God closes a door, don't just stay where you are. Don't be afraid that you're going to make a wrong move or choose the wrong way. Now, many choices that we have in life, about life, aren't necessarily about right and wrong. I mean, choosing this school or that school is not a choice between sin and righteousness, or this job and that job is not a choice between sin and righteousness. If a door is closed, keep on moving. Find an alternate path. Find another way, and God will make sure that you arrive just where you need to be. He'll make sure of it. He's got you. God has got you. He's got your life. He's got your future. He's got your eternity. You are in his hands. He is your shepherd. But what did Paul do? Paul kept going. Paul kept going. When the way was blocked west and south, Paul went north. When the way north was blocked, he traveled northwest. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing to learn from Paul. Not only did he keep on moving, but Paul was not alone. Paul wasn't alone. Paul had Silas and Timothy to talk to discuss with, to be encouraged by, to pray with about direction, about the next steps. And you have other people in your life to talk to discuss, to be encouraged by, to pray with when doors are closed. People in your life that you can talk to and discuss and pray with to help you consider another way, another path, to offer godly guidance to your life. So God closes doors. That's guidance in your life. God will close doors. That's negative guidance. And God also opens doors. When Paul and his companions reach the northwest coast, they stop in the city of Troas, which was just south of the site of Troy. And this is what happened. Listen to verse 9 again. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Well, God sent Paul a vision. A man of Macedonia, which was northern Greece, pleading for help. An open door. A way. Direction. God will open doors for you, and he may not do it through a vision in the night, and that's okay. God may offer you an open door by simply not closing a door in the path that you're on. Now, when we were in Indianapolis, when I was serving in Indianapolis, and we were looking for a new call, and we thought for sure God was going to lead us back to the mountains. We thought for sure we were going to go, Virginia, back to Virginia. But God closed all those doors. But he opened a door here in Jackson. And God guided us here, opened the door for us to be here. And we are thankful that we are here. Well, Paul and Silas and Timothy set sail for Macedonia. They set sail for Greece, and they ended up in the city of Philippi. This was the largest city in northern Greece, named after the father of Alexander the Great. And on the Sabbath day, there was no synagogue. Normally, Paul would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So they went by the river. There was no synagogue. They went to the river, and there by the river, Jews had gathered to pray. And among them was a woman named Lydia. Now, there probably wasn't enough men to have a synagogue. You had to have 10 men in order to have a synagogue. But Jews gathered by the river to pray. And among them was a woman named Lydia. She was a merchant. She was either single or widowed. And listen to verse 14 again. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. God opened her heart to hear the gospel. God opened her heart to receive Jesus, and she was baptized. This is significant in a number of ways. The fact that she received the gospel is significant, absolutely. But Lydia was also the first Christian, the first follower of Jesus on European soil. The first Christian on European soil was Lydia. God's plan to reach the nations was unfolding. And next week, we will continue our study of this unfolding plan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news of your Son. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit takes that and carries that through your word and through your people speaking your word. Father, we pray that you would use us as your people, use us as a church to shine the light of that gospel in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, within our city. Father, give us a passion that others might know what we know, salvation in you. We thank you, Father, for the witness of your servants, Paul and Silas and Timothy. And we thank you, Father, that you guide them, you guided them, and you guide us. And sometimes that guidance that you give us is a closed door. Father, help us to not be discouraged at closed doors, but help us to see that you are speaking to us. You are showing us that there is another way, another path. Help us, Father, to keep moving and surround us with godly people in our lives to pray for us and encourage us and to speak wisdom to us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.